We thank you, Lord, for the message of all of these songs tonight as we seek to walk with you by faith, step away from our fear, look to Jesus, set our eyes upon him, focus our minds upon your word and upon your promises. And we thank you for the peace that passes understanding as we pray, as we roll our burdens over on you. You are good to us, you bless us, you help us in ways beyond our own imagination. We thank you for your eternal, permanent grace, mercy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness to us. We honor you, Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. We recognize your soon return. We pray that you might help us to live as people ready for your return. In the way we live, in the way we say, and what we do, may you be blessed with the work of this church as we do our ministry here to carry out your commands. We thank you for the grace of God that brings us together. What a special time it is for us to be together. We know these days don't last forever. And so we pray that you would help us to make the most of our time, make the most of our days. Now bless us now as we look at your word together, as we think about the last of times and the importance of how we're to live and what is to happen in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, well, good to see all of you. Hope you picked up the outline. And those of you joining us online, may the Lord bless you. I know we have some who are joining us who are literally in hospital and in other places, care facilities, and you let me know that you listen, and we miss you, and we love you, and we pray that you are here with us. And so we got a room full of people here, and so we love you, and we're glad that you joined us here tonight. Know the truth. Tonight we're looking at last things. What do we believe about last things? Now, just before I get started on a commercial, and I want to make sure I get the times right. I think I'm the blame of this the other day. So here's what's going to happen on 9/11, September the 11th. Well, what is that? 2 weeks. Two Wednesdays from now. What we're going to do as we move into the wintertime is we're going to begin offering the Bible study I have. I call it Wednesday Noonday, and then, of course, this time where we'll be here, we'll be offering the time I teach twice on Wednesday. So I'm going to invite a lot of people who are in other places on Wednesday nights who can't be with us to come join me, and Brother Jeff Clark will be helping me. And we'll be meeting from noon until 1 o'clock, and we'll keep it sharp on it, 1 hour, noon to 1 o'clock in here every Wednesday, Wednesday noondays. It'll help for many who, as we get into the wintertime, it gets dark, it gets difficult to travel around. We've wanted to do this for some time. I'm excited that we can do it, but we'll still also have our evening time. We'll still have all of our worship together with all of our wonderful brothers and sisters. Are they not a blessing? Are they not a blessing now? And so we'll enjoy that. And so we want you to have the time to do that, but we'll also start in that time period something new that I want to be talking to you about. We first looked at what do we believe. Now we're going to move in the next few weeks to how we live like Jesus. And I want to talk to you about what does it look like for us to live like Jesus? What did the Lord Jesus do? What did he practice? What were the habits of his life? And I think you'll enjoy it. It'll be very important. It's important for all of us as believers to understand and know how the Lord lives so that we might be like Jesus. We might be Christ-like. So that's where we'll be going. That's where we'll be moving. And so please come, invite anybody you know if they'd like to come join us. So Wednesday noonday, 12 to 1, and then right back here at 6:30. Is that what time we start? 6:30, and to 7:30 on Wednesday nights. I'd like for you to turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter number 3 as we begin to think about last things. as we consider the importance of what we believe about last things. It's important for us to recognize that this is at the foundation of our faith. When we come to talk about last things, there are first things and there are last things. So now we've come to talk about last things. What does God's Word say? What does the Lord Jesus say about last things? Well, let's read the five statements, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll just read the statements. I've broken up the one statement into these five parts. This is what we believe. God in His own time and in His own way will bring the world to its appropriate end. According to His promise, Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly in glory to the earth. The dead will be raised. Christ will judge all men in righteousness. The unrighteous will be consigned to hell, the place of everlasting punishment. The righteous in their resurrected and glorified bodies will receive their reward and will dwell forever in heaven with the Lord. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, we begin. These are the last of Peter's words recorded in this last of his letters. Two letters from Peter. This is the second. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. I gave you some other passages here. 1 Peter 4:6. The end of all things is near. Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. For the time is near. Revelation 22:10. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. As we just read in 2 Peter 3:10, but now Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. James chapter 5, verse 8. Be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. What do we have here? We have the words of Peter. We have the words of John. We have the words of James. The time is near. The end of all things is near. When you know something is near, you prepare for it. When you know something is near, it causes you to make preparations. When something's near, when something's about to take place, when something's coming, when you know something is near, you set your calendar. You check your appointments on your phone. You make sure that you have everything in order when something's near. When it's near the time for you to go to an appointment with your doctor, you make preparation. When it's near the time for you to go for some kind of procedure, you make preparation. When it's near the time for your wife's birthday, you really prepare and do what you're supposed to do. I just threw that out here if any of the men wanted to hear me. When it's near, you prepare for it. You see, the Lord Jesus and the... Look, here's the thing that people in the world roll their eyes about with us. We believe that everything is going to come to an end. Did you hear me? not going to evolve. Humans aren't going to evolve into machines, even though there may be ghastly examples of that. There probably will be before some of us in this room are dead, where machines will be connected to humans. And for the atheists, they believe that's evolution. I think that's pure torture and craziness. The end is near.
Amen.
The end of all things is near. I'm trying to, now look, we've been busy today. All the things we're doing will end.
Amen.
Your life will end. Everything has a beginning, everything has an ending. We learn from the book of Ecclesiastes, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. We're talking about the ending. The ending. The end of all things. All work, all families, all business, all politics, all countries, all wars, all grace, all opportunity to be saved, all the judgments. The end of all things is near. Nearer than farther, sooner than later.
Amen.
Imminent, not unimportant. Immediate, not postponed. Prepared and ready. The day of the Lord. We read it here. The day of the Lord. It isn't as if God the Father will say, well, you know, we probably should do something about the wickedness and godlessness of the earth. No, the day is set. What did the Lord say to the disciples worrying about this before He ascended? It's not for you to know the days and times, but there are days and times set. In eternity, God knows when the Lord Jesus will return. The end of all things is tied to the coming of Jesus Christ again. We've spent a lot of time as we went through the book of Isaiah and then connected to the book of Revelation, we've been spending a lot of time talking about the end of things. I want to be known as a preacher who talks about the end of all things is near.
Amen.
You know, it's not popular to talk about death. People think that's not helpful. But you know, if you know you're going to die, it changes the way you live. When I stood there, Pat and I stood there and listened to the oncologist tell me, well, you know, you have cancer, stage 3 colon cancer, so you probably got 5 years according to the statistics. Okay. I guess he thought I was going to fall on the ground and cry and roll around. And I said, sir, I may die, but I have endless life. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, now when that really happens to you, I'm giving a testimony. It changes the way you live. It makes every day have a different perspective. Some of us don't believe things are ever going to end. I was talking to one of our pastors the other day, and I was talking about someone we both know, we love dearly, but they live their life in such a way, this is my phrase, that they think they're never going to die. Do you know anybody who lives like they think they're never going to die? You see, if you know the end of all things, that means your children may not grow up to adulthood. That means you may not have grandchildren. The end of all things is near.
Amen.
This is the message of the Word of God. This is the message of all of those closest to the Lord Jesus. So what does He say? Let's put it carefully here. The day of the Lord comes like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. Look at it, verse 10. And the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. You do know, all of us know in this world room today, that there is the capacity already in the hands of human beings to destroy the world. You know that. The capacity is already here. But this is beyond just, this is the heavens passing away with a roar. The elements You know that chart when you went to your favorite course in science, chemistry? You remember that chart on the wall? I hated that class. It made my stomach hurt every time I went in there. Pat had to help me the whole way through it. The element chart. What's it called? Element chart? Periodical chart. I still couldn't pass the class. The elements will be destroyed. Are you listening to the Word of God? How can that be? Because they're all created. The elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. So that he might remind us again, verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. We look for it. And how do you hasten it? Hurry it up. You tell people about Jesus as quickly as you can. We do our work so that we finish this generation of telling all people so that the Lord might come, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements, again, will melt with intense heat. Total, absolute destruction of all of the created order, all as far as the satellites can look into space and see all of the massive glories of the heavens which God has created, all of them gone. When we wake up in the morning, when we go to work, and when we go to bed at night, the end of all things is near. That's not meant to be pessimism. That's meant to stir us on to do our work. I'm reading now 2 Peter 3, verse number 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? If I really believe that the end of all things is near, I'm going to live a life of holiness, Christ-likeness, and godliness to the best I can by the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God in His own time and in His own way, because He is only God, will bring the world to its appropriate end. We can say, well, that's sad, and why would God do that? And we ought to be this way or that. We're not God. God is God who determines the beginning and the ending of all things. He is before all things and after all things. He is the eternal one. According to His promise, Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly in glory to the earth. Look, I'm just quoting here. Matthew 16, 27. This is the Lord Jesus. These are red letter words. You know who talked about His coming more than anybody? The Lord Jesus. Massive sections, parables and stories through all the Gospels about coming. The Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will reward each according to what He has done. Luke 24, as the lightning comes from the east, flashes as far as the west, so the coming of the Son of Man be the coming of the Son of Man, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You go back and think of the most unbelievable movie you've ever sat in the movie theater and watched, with all kinds of special effects and powerful things demonstrating what's happening in created order and all kinds of... There's going to be nothing to compare to the awful, dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. It is for believers the best of days. It is for the world the worst of days. They will see the sign of the Son of Man appear in the sky, and all the peoples are going to see it. Well, we know they can all see it. We can see everything globally now through our technology. All the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming. The glory of the coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. It's Revelation 19. We've talked about it in detail. But I want to remind you of something else. At the back of your Bible, we looked at this in detail on Sunday mornings, Revelation 22. Please go there for just a moment. According to His promise, Jesus will return personally and visibly in glory to the earth. Revelation 22 in your Bible. Revelation 22. Notice what He says. Verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Now, either the Lord Jesus is telling the truth. It's like one fellow said, I used to love to listen and knew Josh McDowell. He's a wonderful man. He's older now, but he was a great man who was what we would call an apologist. He spent a lot of time on college campuses sharing the gospel. And he says the Lord Jesus was either told the truth. He was either a liar or a lunatic, or he told the truth. You have to decide. Every person's going to have to find, you know, we're worrying about dinosaurs. You know, I've witnessed people, and I've told you before, they get all worried about the dinosaurs. And you don't get a brain freeze over the dinosaurs. And what about that? And where is it at? Look, let's talk about a historic person whose name is Jesus Christ, documented in history, who walked in Palestine and was documented history, crucified by the Romans as a criminal. Now, he said some things. What are you going to do with what he said? And oh, by the way, his followers, 500 of them, saw him alive after he was crucified. And they watched him ascend into heaven without a plane, without a rocket. Amen. And he's coming back again, according to angels who were there. Yeah. What will you do about Jesus? I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. Verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Verse 20, which in essence is the last verse in your Bible. I am coming quickly. When you lay down tonight, remember this. Jesus said, I am coming quickly. If it's not good enough that Peter said it, the time is near, and that John said it, and James said it, it's enough. Jesus said, I am coming quickly. Now people laugh it off and say, well, here we are 2,000 years of Christian history. Where is your Jesus? Where is your Jesus? We all know how Peter responded to that. It's not the Lord is slow, but he is patient, not willing that any perish, but all come to eternal life. Look, to our generation of people alive, the Lord Jesus coming is an imminent thing. He did not come in the past because of his grace and mercy, but he will come. And his coming is quick. His coming is imminent. His coming is certain and assured. You can set your clock and your calendar by this fact. Jesus is coming again. Now, why am I saying all this? Because that's the way you must live. I say it to this dear church every Sunday. I try to say it as often as I can because I believe it and I seek to live by it myself. James said it, the judge is near the door. The Lord Jesus is about to come through the door. When the judge is near the door and you're in the court, you get ready to face the judge. The judge is near to the door and we pray, come Lord Jesus. That's not just some religious thing we say. It is the final words that we read in Revelation 22, 20. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I'm coming again. And the church says, amen, come Lord Jesus. Third, the dead will rise and Christ will judge all men in righteousness. Acts 17:31, God has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. That is the Lord Jesus. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The one who has been raised from the dead, Jesus Christ, will be the judge of all. Every one of us in this room, this is not like some kind of a philosophical deal here. You are truly going to answer to Jesus Christ for the way you've lived as a believer. Not about whether you're saved or lost. You will answer at the judgment seat of Christ for the things you've done. I've given it to you here. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, we Christians must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. How are you using your body? How are you using your mouth? How are you using your time and your values? Because we will all, I won't answer for you and you won't answer for me. You won't answer for your spouse. You won't answer for your kids. You will answer for yourself when you stand before the Bema seat. That's what it was called, the Bema seat. where the Roman emperor would come sit on the Bema seat, the seat of judgment. And they would be brought before him and he would make his determinations. You see, this is what we all must remember. I'm living my life today and the end of all things is upon me. And at the same time, I am going to answer for what I've done with my time and my abilities. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. So what do? Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The time will come when people will not endure sound teaching. What I'm talking about tonight. No, they don't want, who wants to hear this? People roll their eyes about it. Well, I just want to have a good feeling. I want to go to church and just feel something. They want to have their ears tickled and they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They turn away their ears from the truth, which is the truth of Scripture. Not the truth from preachers. Preachers sometimes use this to talk about, well, you know, people didn't want to hear me preach. That's ridiculous. That's not what this is talking about. Like you're not their favorite. This is about turning away from the truth of God's Word. Rejecting the truth of God's Word. They turn away from it and they turn aside to myths. So you see, my friends, there is a judgment coming. We've talked about it at length. It is a time which will be a dreadful time for those who do not know the Lord. And the unrighteous stand. You know, I've summarized Revelation 20 for you. You know Revelation 20. It is the great white throne judgment. It is that time when all of the lost dead from every generation will come back to life. They will stand in the presence of God and they will be judged out of the books. That's what they wanted anyway. You know, I buried, every time I talk about this, I've buried so many people in my life. I've been to the graveyard a lot of times in my life. I believe I've witnessed, I could tell you stories, some of the saddest. You know, when people die without Jesus, their family dies without any hope. It's a miserable thing when you sit with a family and you say, well, would you like to tell me a little bit about your loved one? And, you know, they say, well, you know, Mama really liked to watch the soaps. What? Y'all know what a soap is? Soap opera? Yeah. I when the person said that to me, I mean, I thought it was a joke at first. Mama really loved the soaps. Okay. Well, I mean, would you all like for me to say that at the funeral? That's what we're going to talk about? Mama, and she loved her dog. And you know, she's so sad. She had to bury little puppy number one, and now she's got puppy two. And what will we do with puppy two? Because now Mama's gone. That's it? That's your life? Watching the soaps? And sitting around on your couch with your dog? That's it? That's what it's turned out to be? The dead of, the great dead of the past. The great dead of the past who rejected Jesus. They'll all stand before him. The great kings and princes, Muhammad and all the rest, stand before him. That's right. Buddha. Confucius, the philosophers, the dead lost from every generation, standing for their turn, and the books are open, like the fellow said to me. I'm just going to go off of what I've done and see what the man upstairs has to say about that. Do you really want to do that, sir? You see, we finally have to decide when we're talking to people about Jesus, if we're just going to be friendly about it, and you know, because we want to be liked. See, this is the problem of Christians today. We want everybody to like us. Look, they don't like you. Do you understand that? They hate what you stand for. They think you're a fool. So once you get that past that, you just say, you know what? I need to tell people the truth. If you die without Jesus, you're going to go to hell. He says to me, I think that everybody's, you know, philosophy. I think everybody's done enough good things that God will bypass the other bad things and He'll let us into heaven because of the good things we've done. What kind of heaven would that be? Where God gave everybody a break. Well, you know, you were good to your, you were nice, you paid your taxes. So come on into heaven. The unrighteous will be consigned to hell, the place of everlasting punishment. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We looked at it as one of those great promises when we were looking at the Lord Jesus' promises to the churches in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 2:11, I read it to you. The Lord Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Listen, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And you know what the second death is? Being thrown forever into the lake of fire. Oh, you Christians just want to scare people. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the way to understand the Holy One. What did the Lord Jesus say? Why do you fear people? Fear the one who has the power to kill you and throw you into hell. Now, I'm not making that up. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Sometimes we don't like what Jesus said. He was just too rough. We need a kinder Jesus, kind of a soft Jesus. It's a soft one that just speaks politely and kindly. No, we stand before the Lord Jesus, whose words are sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, it's going to pierce you. You're going to read it and go, "Wait a minute, that was for me. I was trying to get a verse so I could quote to my wife. Oh, this is for me. I don't need to give this to somebody else. I need this for myself." That's the way the Lord speaks to us. His words are sharp and they're offensive. The Lord Jesus offends. He offends people. Because the Lord Jesus says, "I'm the King, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior, and if you don't believe in me, you will die and be separate from me." But the righteous. Oh, my friends, we've spent so much time, and I want us to spend time in heaven. Look, here's my point. If we're going to be people who believe the Word of God, we're going to have to believe in last things. Amen. This is my point.
Amen.
Philippians 3:20-21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there. Now, wait a minute. Our citizenship is in heaven, so we do whatever we want to do. We live slothfully. We live lazily. We're not eager. We're not eager. We wait eagerly for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. Now, as we finish, I want to read to you this matter about eagerly waiting. Eagerly waiting. And I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25. And we're going to use this as we finish. Matthew 25. Eagerly waiting. I remind you again tonight, as you hear my voice, as we're here gathered in this room, the Lord Jesus is coming again, and everything is going to end. We're nearer to the end of all things than ever. The end of all things is sooner. It is imminent, as I said before. It's immediate. But now the Lord says, after He talked about being ready for His coming in Matthew 24, here's what He says in Matthew 25. Let's just hear what the Lord Jesus says. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Listen to the Lord's words, friends. Listen to his words as we finish thinking about last things. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Be on the alert. We have dear police officers who have come up here, and I'm so grateful for them. I'm grateful for Brother Troy setting it up. And they come for CDC and our pre-K. They're out here alert and on duty from 6 o'clock till 9 in the mornings, and then they come back and they're here in the afternoons. We have people who serve in our church as security, being alert, paying attention to their surroundings, paying attention to who's coming around. Are we living with alertness? Have we gone to sleep because we have so many cares and worries? Why, our schedules are full. How are we going to work in Jesus coming again? We have too much to do. We have important matters to carry out. Perhaps the Lord will help us tonight to remember, be on the alert. I do want to point it out. Chapter 24, verse 42, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." Be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. This is the message. This is the word the Lord has for us. 1 John 3:2 at the bottom of your outline, "We are now children of God." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
"We are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been revealed." It's going to be special. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. It's going to be unbelievable, your glorified body. It's going to be an amazing thing. "We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is." Now our hymn for tonight, Charles Wesley. "Lo, He comes in clouds descending, once for helpless sinner slain, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of His train. Hallelujah, 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 all the angels cry amen. Every eye shall now behold Him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold Him, pierced and nailed Him to the tree, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall the true Messiah see. Every island, sea, and mountain, heaven and earth shall flee away. All who hate Him must, confounded, hear the trump proclaim the day. Come to judgment, come to judgment, come to judgment. Come to judgment, come away. Now, redemption long expected, see in solemn pomp appear. All His saints by man rejected, now shall meet Him in the air. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See the day of God appear. Answer thine own bride and spirit. Hasten, Lord, the general doom. The new heaven and earth inherit. Take thy pining exiles home. All creation, all creation, all creation travails, groans, and bids thee come. Yea, amen, let all adore thee high on thine eternal throne. Savior, take the power and glory. Claim the kingdom for thy own. Oh, come quickly, oh, come quickly. Oh, come quickly. Hallelujah. Come, Lord, come. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday, Lord willing.